From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
This week on the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition, our guest, Dr. Joseph Castro, is one of five new presidents at California State University campuses in 2013 and is the first California native and Hispanic to assume the top post in the history of Fresno State. As he takes the reins of leadership, he'll be confronted with a myriad of issues. What can be done to make sure students are prepared to succeed in college? What can be done to help remove unnecessary roadblocks and help students graduate more quickly? What role will technology, and online instruction in particular, have on the cost and effectiveness of higher education in the future? What role will fundraising and athletics play at the university? And what role can or should a university play in improving the lives of those in the community, state, and nation? As he assumes the mantle as the eighth president in the history of California State University Fresno, Dr. Castro addresses the near-term challenges as well as the long-term outlook for higher education in California and the San Joaquin Valley. We'll also hear from Lisa Weston, president of the California Faculty Association on the Fresno State campus, Moses Menchaca, president of Associated Students, or ASI, the student body government at Fresno State, and Pete Weber, a community leader and member of the President's Selection Advisory Committee. Fresno State President Joseph Castro, a look ahead.
From Fresno, the Matty Report, with Executive Director of the Matty Institute, Mark Kepler.
Welcome. For the first time in almost a quarter century, California State University Fresno is going to have a new president, Joe Castro. He follows in the footsteps of John Welty, the university's longest-serving president who boosted Fresno State's image both academically and athletically. Welcome to the Matty Report.
Thank you, Mark.
A quick editor's note. As university president, Joseph Castro is a member of the Matty Institute Board of Directors. So first of all, why don't you tell our viewers a little bit about yourself, both personally and professionally?
Thank you. Well, I'm from Hanford originally, just 40 miles south of Fresno. And as the eighth president, I'm also the first from California, first from the Valley. I have a wife and three kids. The oldest graduated from college at Berkeley, and the middle one, a girl, is a senior in college at Humboldt State. And then we have our little guy, who's 2.5, who's here with
us. I'm curious, I mean, you're from the Valley, from California. How do you think that helps you in terms of becoming the new president at a California State University school?
I think it helps a lot because it gives me, the opportunity to really understand the Valley and to build partnerships more easily because I understand the culture here and the people.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned your wife, Mary Castro, who's going to be designated as a university volunteer.
Yes.
And so probably people are probably wondering, what do those duties entail?
Well, she's going to be very helpful to me. She is going to attend events with me. She's going to represent the university at events around the Valley in different communities. She's going to work with staff to make sure that all of our public events go smoothly. And otherwise, you know, very supportive of the university and of my presidency.
Yeah, it's a tremendous asset.
Yes.
You know, you're getting a two-for-one deal, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, you've been working in your transition with former President John Welty. I'm assuming he's giving you advice on the kinds of issues you might be dealing with. What kinds of advice, if you can say, what kinds of words of advice is he giving you? Has he been giving you?
Dr. Welty's been immensely helpful to me. We have met several times during the transition, and he has given me kind of the lay of the land in terms of issues that he dealt with, challenges, opportunities. And in terms of advice, he said, enjoy the process. You know, he said, almost every day is a great day.
Of course, he said that as he's walking out the door. I think there might have been some days he was...
Yeah, he was very honest about that there are some very difficult days, and I know that that's the case, but in general, he said that it's been a joy for him over 22 years, and he said enjoy the process.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got several priorities.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a chance to kind of talk a little bit about some of your priorities as the new president.
Yes. Well, my first priority is to listen and learn. And I think one thing that a new leader can do before they start making big changes in an organization is really to understand the culture and the complexities out there. So I'm going to start by doing that.
But just out of curiosity, how long do you think that process is going to take? I mean, before you get a good feel for where you should be going with that?
I think weeks and a few months, and then I'll begin to have a sense of where things are, and then it'll depend on the issue in terms of what kinds of changes we might want to undertake.
Mm-hmm. So your priorities then, you think going forward, one of the issues I know you've talked about is increasing on-time graduation.
Absolutely. We're going to focus a lot of attention on student access in the same way that Dr. Welty did, and my instincts are that we can do a lot better around the graduation rate, so I really want to see what we can do to move the needle there.
You also talked about partnering with community colleges to build pathways.
Yes.
Why is that important?
Well, as you know, a lot of our Valley students start out at a community college before they transfer, and it's important to me and to the university to make sure that we are welcoming to them, and so I've already been on the phone with a lot of the leaders throughout the Valley and to talk about ways in which we can strengthen transfer, and I think we'll be able to do that in the coming years. We have a record class of transfer students this fall.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And that number is probably just going to go up.
Yes, I think so.
So what about, you also mentioned in some of your opening remarks when you first came on board about helping drive the local economy. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I'd like to do is have Fresno State be part of the transformation of the Valley economy, to go from where we are now, which is a very successful economy built around agriculture, to one that anticipates changes that are going to occur technologically and economically, and to try to position ourselves to take advantage of those opportunities in the future.
Governor Brown has called on California's higher education systems to rein in costs, operate more efficiently, and get students to obtain their diplomas more quickly. New California State University President Joseph Castro is echoing many of those same themes. So one of the big challenges was student preparation.
Yes.
There are about 60% of Cal State University students come to the university unprepared in math and writing.
Right.
And the problem is actually worse with minority populations. And Fresno State has a large minority population.
Yes.
So what can be done to make sure that students are prepared to succeed in college?
Well, I think that there's a lot of work that can be done with the K through 12 system around student preparation early on, and I would advocate for an even more robust set of partnerships between Fresno State and school districts around the Valley. I think that's the right medium and longer term approach. In the short term, I think we'll need to continue to have those kinds of courses to help students make that transition into succeed as quickly as they can, but I think that the real opportunity for success here is building those stronger partnerships and making sure that the students are prepared when they graduate from high school so that they can really come in and graduate in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's tough because they're not only, you know, ramping it up to a higher level of education, but they maybe not have the base when they get to the university, which is tough on them.
It is, yeah.
And a lot of them are working too, so
yeah,
it's a challenge.
It's complex, that's for sure.
You know, another big challenge to improving higher education, and we talked about this a little earlier, and that is creating a smoother transition from community colleges to four-year universities.
Right.
So what plans do you have to make that transition more seamless between community colleges and Fresno State?
Well, I've already been in phone conversations with several of the community college leaders, and at our level, we've said we're going to make it as easy as possible for students to make that transition. I think that they deserve that from us as public institutions. So, you know, what I'm interested in doing is understanding where some of those barriers are in talking to our faculty and deans and others at community colleges and the students themselves and figuring out what we need to do in terms of removing those barriers so that students can do that more easily. I have a sister who graduated from Fresno State who transferred from College of Sequoias, and she was able to succeed. It took her a little longer than she might have wanted, but she did very well. And, you know, I think that's a great opportunity for many students.
Students are not just interested in this. Parents who are paying tuition,
absolutely,
I'm sure, are very interested in that seamless transition.
You bet.
You know, another thing that has been talked about is these hard-to-get classes for students, and one solution being offered are online classes.
Yes.
According to the Oakland Tribune, the CSU is unveiling, quote, a radical new plan for online classes, unquote. Can you describe what's being rolled out?
Yeah, you know, there's a CSU online initiative which has many CSUs participate in where they're offering certificates or online degrees. Fresno State has been actively involved in that. There's also the work that's going on with Udacity and edX and some other partners. I've worked very closely with Coursera and have developed a number of online programs at my former campus, UCSF. What I'm interested in doing is talking with the Academic Senate at Fresno State and the deans and kind of understanding where we are at in our development. And I know there are new degrees that are being planned, one in water, which is going to be immensely helpful, a new online master's degree that just received approval from WASC, and that will go live next year. I'd like to build on what we've been doing. I think that it works well for a number of students, but not for all. And I think that's the research shows that for some students, online education is not as effective. So we need to understand that better. And in the case where it's not as effective, maybe we don't encourage that for them.
And my understanding is that the CSU is talking about 36 fully online classes in high demand areas like biology, physical, geography, statistics, astronomy, and business finance. So
right.
All those classes that students are trying to get, they can now get them online.
That's right, at any campus around the system.
And the governor's been pushing that initiative.
He has. Both CSU and the University of California systems have received some additional funding to do that.
Yeah, that's interesting when you talk about funding. It's budgets always show priorities.
Yeah.
And the governor has put $10 million in this initiative just for the CSU alone.
That's right.
So he clearly is interested in this.
Yes.
And my research shows is about 15,000 to 20,000 students are expected to enroll. And just to give people a perspective, that's basically the size of another Fresno State.
That's
a little
right.
bit smaller, but that's a pretty good size number of students.
It's significant.
Yeah.
And I think given the challenge we have in trying to provide access for so many young people and adults, that we need to have, you know, options like this available.
You know, the whole issue of online education hasn't gone without some criticism. San Jose State, for example, recently moved to suspend a highly touted collaboration with Udacity.
Udacity. That's right.
To cover, you know, low-cost, four-credit online classes after finding out that more than half the students failed to pass.
Yeah.
And the New York Times had recently written an editorial saying that basically these kinds of classes can work, but they are problematic where the students are more challenged. And they specifically say these courses, quote, these courses would be questionable for first-time freshmen in the 23-campus California State University system, more than 60% of whom need remedial instruction in math and English. So, you know, you were handling this as vice provost at UCSF. Is online education the answer to improving access, or are there other better answers?
I think it's one of the answers, and I think that we need to be careful not to put it in place too quickly. I think that's one of the lessons from the San Jose State experiment, and we need to be mindful of the fact that students learn in different ways, so we need to make sure that we don't force them into a solution that's not going to allow them to succeed, that we focus on success, whether that's traditional instruction, hybrid, or fully online.
In most communities, the university is one of the biggest fundraisers. It's no different in Fresno, where the university has recently completed a $200 million fundraising campaign. And with state funding less reliable and academic competition for the best and the brightest more intense, fundraising is increasingly seen as a critical part of a college president's job description. So former President John Welty was known as a very strong fundraiser.
Yes.
How would you approach fundraising, and do you have any goals that might even raise the bar?
Well, fundraising is going to continue to be very important for Fresno State. And you're right, President Welty and his team did an incredible job, even surpassed their initial target. So that does set the bar high for me and for my colleagues. But, you know, my feeling is that it's all about friend raising first and developing close relationships. And I started doing that the day of my appointment. I began calling a lot of alumni and friends and just getting on the phone with them, introducing myself. I've been getting together with several for lunch or dinner, and understanding kind of what they love about Fresno State and what they also would like to see in terms of any changes to make it better.
And that's a really big difference for CSUs. You know, in 20, 30 years ago, fundraising really wasn't a big part of the job.
And right.
Increasingly, that's the margin of excellence, it seems.
I think it is. My search committee said at least 30% and maybe 50% of my time will be spent on this. So I go into it with my eyes open.
I hope you like chicken dinners.
Let's talk about some of the short-term maybe needs of the university. Do you see any particular needs that you'd want to really focus your immediate fundraising efforts on?
Yeah, I think so. One has to do with our athletic program. I think to the extent that I can get more of our close friends who love our athletic program to help us to endow some of the sports, that's going to strengthen the athletic program and strengthen the overall university budget, because it will ensure that those sports programs get the support they need and make sure that the campus's other resources are not, increasing over time. I'd like to really do my best to make sure that those sports programs are as close to being privately funded as possible.
You know, you're looking at a potential top 25 football team this year.
Yeah.
My brother went to the University of Connecticut, and they were very successful. When their sports teams were successful, a lot of money flowed to the university. So there's a connection between athletics and academics.
Absolutely.
What about the long-term strategic goals of the university? Are there any fundraising efforts you want to focus on there?
Well, we've got to think about, after this campaign has just concluded, what makes sense for the future. And I still need to talk to our faculty and friends and students to develop a much clearer sense of it. My instinct suggests something around student success would make a lot of sense, that people want to help our students and our students want to succeed.
One of the things you got a little press on recently was tablets.
Yes.
Just thinking that we should go in that direction. Why?
Yeah, again, I tie it to student success. My observation is that students at Fresno State, because of their backgrounds, they don't always have the tools that they need to succeed. And we have loaner programs and so forth that have been very successful. I'm interested in seeing if we can get them that tool. And with that tool, they'll be able to download the materials for their classes. They won't need a backpack anymore. I believe they'll save money over time. We'll amortize the cost of the laptops over a few years, so it begins to be quite modest. And then finally, it gives them a chance to write their papers. They won't even need a laptop.
You know, it's interesting, I'm going to date myself here. I was, doing research with card catalogs and going from library to library, in graduate school. And those days seem to be long gone. Everything is accessible through the internet now. And so if you have that ability, you can really reach out. And it's amazing the information that's out there, obviously.
Absolutely.
Let me go back, talk a little about athletics for a second. As I mentioned, that's a big part of the donor base to a university.
Yes.
With athletic success, though, there's a concern that maybe the monitoring issue of how do you make sure that these Division I programs are properly monitored and there's proper oversight.
Yes.
How are you going to do that at a school at Fresno State?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, Dr. Welty, Thomas Bay, the athletic director, and the entire campus has done a wonderful job over the last 6-7 years in making sure that our compliance practices are exactly where they need to be. I want to continue to build off of that and keep the program as one that wins with integrity. And I think if we focus on making sure the integrity part is handled right and do everything we can to attract the best players and coaches and staff, we'll be very successful.
Okay, great. Well, the best universities are not just places where faculty go to research and teach, students go to learn, and alumni go to attend football games. The best universities also work to improve their city, region, state, and nation. So you often hear about professors living in an ivory tower. What can you do as college president to improve the town-gown connection and make sure that what the university does is relevant to improving the lives of those in its community, state, and nation?
Sure. Well, Fresno State is part of that land-grant history that's so important, and I think Dr. Welty and everyone else has done a great job of building relationships throughout the valley, valuing community engagement. I want to build from that. I know all the towns up and down the valley. I've already met with several of the mayors to talk with them about how Fresno State can help, and they're very interested in working with us. So I think it's a matter of, leading the way, getting out there in the valley, understanding those issues, and then making sure the university can be as productive as possible in dealing with those issues, challenges, and seizing opportunities.
You also talked earlier about how the university can help promote economic development. Are there specific things you would do in that regard? I mean, we have an office at the university of something called the Community Office of Community and Economic Development.
That's right. Mike Dozier is the head of that.
And so what kinds of things do you see them doing to promote economic development?
Well, they've done a great job already.
I just saw recently they have a certificate program now to help people.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I've been out there for a couple months now during the transition, meeting community and business leaders. And what I hear from them is that Fresno State's done a really good job of reaching out to them. I also hear that they think we can do better in some key areas. Tomorrow I'm going to be sitting down with some of our top agricultural leaders from around the nation to hear from them and to, after hearing from them, think through some strategies that we can develop, you know, quickly and in the medium term to address those needs. So that's obviously one area of focus. But I want to look at technology and the ways in which we might be able to support the Valley's economy through the use of technology in all different sectors. We've got wonderful schools of business, as you know, and health and you know, we serve so many different people that way, education. So
the water issue could be potentially very huge.
Yeah, and as you know, we hosted the Water Summit mm-hmm. last Saturday. We had the leaders from all around the country there, and I think people were very impressed with our faculty. We have the water cohort of faculty, a really impressive group I met a few days ago. And so I think there are opportunities, like you say, to really build off what's happened.
I don't know, it was Mark Twain or someone said that whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over, and so you're
That's
positioned
right.
well on that issue. What about your biggest upcoming challenges and opportunities that you see being a president of a California State University? What do you see as your biggest challenges and opportunities?
Yeah, I think that the student success challenge is a big one. You alluded to it with your question about preparation. I think we need to figure out how to do that better. And in order to increase graduation rates. The campus itself is built on an old infrastructure, 50 plus years old, and so there are some issues there that I'm learning about. We'll have to develop some plans pretty quickly to address those. So that's gonna be another near-term challenge. And then just the usual stuff of trying to recruit and retain the most talented students and faculty and staff.
Yeah, that is a very big challenge. What about the metrics of how a university president should be judged? What do you think of the fair, what should people be looking at to determine whether or not you're successful?
Yeah, well, I think, it's living up to the mission as a public university. Are we educating students well? Are we providing the applied research that people expect from us in terms of the quality of research?
And when you say applied research, can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, I think it ranges from working in schools with young people, making sure, as I said earlier, I think our research and education could help us in terms of the preparation issue for students, so when they get to us, they're more well prepared. So working with teachers, working with students and families. The water issue is certainly one. You know, strategies to use water more effectively, strategies to get more water out of our system, that sort of thing.
So you went to Stanford and Berkeley, and that's where they're doing kind of research, but at a school like a Cal State Fresno, Fresno State, it's the application of that research to the real world
exactly.
that really what the focus is.
That's exactly right.
We'll have about a minute left in the segment. Ask a last question.
Sure.
And this will probably be played when you eventually leave as college president. What do you want your legacy to be?
Well, I think at the most basic level, I want the university to be a lot better off when I leave than it is today. And things are going pretty well today, so I definitely don't want to screw it up. I want it to be more successful. I want our students to be more successful. I want our faculty to be successful. You know, our research of funding has been flat for the last several years. I'd like to try to improve on that. And then our engagement. I'd like to see us, as actively engaged in the community as possible.
Well, that's a full plate.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank California State University President Joe Castro for joining us. Up next, what should President Joe Castro do as he takes the reins at Fresno State? We'll talk to Pete Weber, a member of the Presidential Selection Advisor Committee, Lisa Weston, president of the Fresno State Faculty Union, and Moses Menchaca, Fresno State Student Body President.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
We're talking about the future of Fresno State as it welcomes a new president for the first time in 22 years. Our guest is Pete Weber, who has unique perspectives since he was a member of the Presidential Search Advisory Committee, and given his involvement in numerous Valley issues, such as a board member of the California Partnership for the San Joaquin Valley, as well as his former work as a high-ranking executive with Fortune 500 companies. Welcome back to the Matty Report, Valley Views Editions, Pete.
Thank you, Mark.
We talked last time about the selection process and the fact that it really wasn't public. As a result, folks may be wondering, what were the key knowledge, skills, and abilities that the selection committee focused on in making its hiring decision? What can you tell us?
Well, I'm not going to speak for the search committee, but I'll tell you what was important to me, starting with the basics, educational background and work experience. We had many candidates with excellent educational backgrounds. Dr. Castro having attended Berkeley, the best public university in the country.
Is that because you went there, Pete?
Well, yeah, and he also went to Stanford, where I also went, which is one of the top five private universities in the country. Certainly, you know, he ranked right up there among the top candidates. And regarding work experience, Fresno State is a large, complex institution, so I was looking for someone who had excelled in similarly complex institutions, which Dr. Castro had, having worked at several UC campuses. And other qualities that were important included experience in university classrooms and fundraising experience, experience working with a highly diverse student population, experience with Division I athletics. And after that, it got more subjective, and it wasn't an absolute requirement that the selected candidate know the Valley, but it was critically important, certainly for me, to feel that the candidate could relate to the unique issues of the Valley. So it was critically important for me to get a sense that the successor to Dr. Welty would be as committed to engaging with the Valley community. And with our need for jobs in the Valley, it was important for me to get a sense that the candidates would be strongly committed to a strong applied R&D program that is relevant to the needs of the region, particularly as related to the economic driver of the region, which is the ag value chain.
So what do you see as President Castro's strength? Do you see that those are his particular areas of strength?
Well, he's very strong in all of, most of the areas that I just cited. He's certainly strong in all the basic credentials. He understands the university classrooms. He certainly understands the issues of the Valley. He can relate superbly to Fresno State's diverse student body. He understands the huge importance of the university to the community. And I think, what I haven't mentioned is that he has some essential attributes for a good university president, good listening skills, passion, a strong work ethic, humility, and boldness. I love that he threw out there this past weekend that the seven public regional universities that are ranked higher than Fresno State in the West better watch out because we're aiming to be number one. I like the fact that he's setting high expectations.
Oh, that's good. What do you see as some of the things he might need to grow into or work on as he takes this new position?
Although he's worked on UC campuses, which certainly have strong Division I athletic programs, he hasn't personally had a lot of experience with Division I athletics, so that's something he'll have to grow into. I have no doubt that he will. He has had experience with fundraising, but this will be at a new level. Again, I don't have any doubt that he'll be very good at it. And then this is clearly a step function increase in the size of budget and staff over which he now has responsibility. So there's also going to be a learning curve there.
Basically a scale up of all the things he's been doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, he also said, as you mentioned, he wants Cal State Fresno to be a top-tier academic institution. So how would you suggest he go about achieving that goal?
Well, I don't want to be presumptuous. If I had the answer to that question, maybe I should have applied for the job. But I'll tell you what President Castro has said already that makes sense to me. He wants to increase graduation rates, which seems sensible since only 14% of our students graduate in 4 years, and even more important, only 48% graduate in 6 years. He wants to increase the number of doctoral programs, and of course he'll need to have the help of the other CSUs to make the case for that. He said he wants Fresno State to build preeminence in several fields so that we're recognized nationally in those fields. You do those three things, and you're going to go a long way towards reaching top tier.
As a business person, is there any concern that maybe we're talking about graduation rates? Is there any concern about the tail wagging the dog here that you might make the focus graduation rates, but that means, we'll just lower standards to make that happen?
Yeah, well, that depends on how you address the issue, and I certainly don't think that Dr. Kastor is interested in lowering standards. Here's what I've heard him say, which, again, this makes sense to me. First, he wants to work with the K-12 leaders in the Valley, and, by the way, with the community colleges as well, to better prepare students to enter university, something that Dr. Welty had already started to do with Superintendent Mike Hansen and others. There's an awful lot of remediation, as you know, Mark, that the university has to do because students are not well prepared to enter university.
About 50 to 60% of the students at Cal State's need remediation. Work.
Yeah, and so that's a huge issue. If you can address that, you will, indirectly be impacting graduation rates. Second, I've heard him say that he wants to invest more in counseling to ensure students stay on track. And again, I think that's critical. Students need mentors. They need to be reminded from time to time about, why it's beneficial for them to stay in school and graduate from school and so on. And then I've heard him talk about also investing in more tutoring. Now, none of those things will lower academic standards. In fact, over time, they may well result in raising academic standards.
Yeah, the mentoring and tutoring might be particularly important because we have a lot of first-generation students at Cal State Fresno, and they may not be getting that support at home that maybe the university can provide so they can be successful.
I don't know about you, Mark, but I was the first person in my family to go to college.
Me too.
It's a new experience, and it's fraught with all kinds of pitfalls, and so having some, help,
it makes
I welcomed it.
It does make it. I turned to my parents, and they said, you're going to have to figure that one out for yourself, because we've never gone. Let me ask you about this ag value chain that you mentioned earlier. President Kastor has said he wants to focus on agriculture and engineering in particular. You think that's a good idea, and what are the implications for the Valley?
Well, absolutely, I think it's a good idea. In fact, President Kastor and I have discussed this on a couple of occasions. And when you say agriculture, what I know he has in mind is the entire ag value chain.
Could you explain what the ag value chain is for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, often when you say agriculture, people think about production agriculture, and obviously that's critically important, but it's everything that happens after that. It's the packing and the processing and the equipment that goes into the packing plants and into the manufacturing plants. It's the irrigation equipment that you need to do production agriculture. It's everything that touches on ag. It even extends to things like biofuels and anything that touches on agriculture, which is of course the heart of our economy, is something that we ought to be talking about. And I'm very pleased that he's publicly committed to building a very strong engineering department, because we certainly need it. Our engineers in the ag value chain are. Many of them are approaching retirement. We don't have a strong enough pipeline to take their place, let alone support growth of the industry. So that's a really vital need. And, the Silicon Valley may be able to import engineers and techs from the Far East or wherever. That's a much harder thing for us to do here. We've got to grow our own engineering community.
The ag value chain is something that's particularly interesting in that, we're sending out a lot of our products to be produced or are added to in other communities and then sold back to us. It'd be nice if we could hold some of that money here in the Valley.
You bet. That's been a major topic of discussion with Dr. Welty, with Dr. Kastor, with leaders, business leaders in the ag value chain, and it has a lot to do with things that the university can influence: the development of a strong workforce, applied R&D programs, good engineering programs, and so on. But it also has to do, of course, with issues that plague California as a whole. Some of the value add doesn't just leave the Valley; it leaves the state of California, and we got to fix that. But that's a different discussion.
Yeah, at Stanford, people sometimes forget that Stanford was a big reason why the Silicon Valley happened, and you could probably make the same argument for Fresno State in terms of agriculture if President Kastor was successful in those efforts. Let me ask you about working in large organizations. You've worked in a lot of large organizations. President Kastor is going to have to deal with deans of the various colleges and schools within the university, kind of like in business parlance, I guess you'd call them division leaders. What specific steps would you recommend President Kastor take to make sure that his division leaders, i.e. the deans, are all rowing in the same direction to improve the university's performance?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me start by saying that businesses believe in focus, right? You need to concentrate on a few things you can do very well. But we all know many large businesses that do many things well. And that's why you go to organizational structures that have division managers, so each one of them is focused on a specific market and focused on achieving a few key performance metrics. And moving that to the public sector, when Mike Hansen took over as superintendent of Fresno Unified, some of us had developed a turnaround plan for the district that contained 37 recommendations. And there was no way that he'd ever succeed if he tried to implement them sequentially. So we advocated what we called, and we coined this term, we called it a focused blitzkrieg strategy. It sounds like a contradiction in terms. But, you know, and by the way, Fresno State is not broken like Fresno Unified was back then, but the metaphor is still apt. You decide on what your targets are. You get great pilots. You give them the latitude and resources to assemble great crews. And then your job as president is to be the, you know, air traffic controller. Now, the metaphor breaks down from there because we really don't want to bomb anyone, but you get the picture. You have highly capable leaders responsible for highly competent crews and have them go after your chosen targets. And let me be clear, you still have to make strategic choices as to where you want to place your limited resources. Everyone has limited resources. But that's essentially what you have to do. And, I think that's where Dr. Castro's headed.
What about the role of financial information in institutional decision-making? What advice would you give President Castro to make sure that he's a good manager and consumer of financial data? Are there any strategies that you'd suggest for improving the campus productivity and improving on the issues of cost containment?
Well, Mark, in business, technology has been a huge productivity driver over the last couple of decades, and that model can also be applied to universities. But I want to make it clear that it has to be done with great care. Different students learn in different ways, so you can't just throw technology at education mindlessly. It has to be done very thoughtfully. But again, this is an area in which Dr. Castro has some experience. I mean, he worked within the UC system on things like web-based learning.
Right. Online instruction, which is a big thing increasingly in higher education.
And he worked very closely with San Jose State, where this was sort of pioneered in some ways and with some problems. And the good news is that he is aware of what those problems are. And so, I think you'll bring a lot to that conversation.
Yeah, you can learn a lot, as much from failure as you can from success, I guess. Well,
and hopefully you learn from other people's failures, but sometimes you have to learn from your own.
That's very true. Well, thank you very much, Pete. I really enjoy the conversation. Up next, what advice do faculty and students have for Fresno State's new president? That conversation in a moment. This is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
There are lots of issues that are going to land on Fresno State President Joe Castro's desk in the coming months and years. Some, though, like how to improve affordability, access, student success, and graduation rates, are likely to make regular appearances on his to-do list. How should those issues be addressed? We're joined by representatives of two important constituencies, faculty and students, who would be directly impacted by how those questions are answered. Lisa Weston is the president of the California Faculty Association on the Fresno State campus, and Moses Menchaca is the president of Associated Students, or ASI, the student body government at Fresno State. Welcome to the Matty Report Valley Views Edition.
Okay, thank you.
There seem to be three key issues that keep coming up when we talk about higher education: access, cost, and student success / graduation rates. So I wanted to talk to you about each one of those. So, Lisa, I'll start with you. Let's talk about the issue of access first. What do you think President Castro should be doing to improve access at Fresno State?
Well, affordability is one big thing, of course, and I think that will feature later on, so I'll leave that one to one side for the moment. But there's also the connection to the local schools, connection to local schools to ask questions about are the students college ready? It's not just do they have physical access, but do they have intellectual and emotional maturity to really access their education? And when we ask about access, we're also asking about access to what? And I think it's very important that President Castro keep his eye on the fact that we want access to quality education, to the best education possible, which means recruiting and retaining, nurturing and supporting and rewarding the best faculty to make sure that students have modeled to them innovation, creativity, and have the best kinds of teachers and researchers.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about how students can be successful, but a lot of the research shows that who's standing in front of the classroom is absolutely critical to student success. Moses, let me ask you, from a student's perspective, what do you want to see President Castro do in terms of improving access?
You know, I couldn't agree more with Lisa in the fact that we do need to go more to the high schools and cultivate this mind and this concept of college after or higher education after high school, and as well as kind of show and showcase the abilities and the required skills needed to succeed within the classroom. I think that as long as we focus on access as not taking over graduation retention or success of students, but more as giving those students who are qualified the options, whether that's financially, whether that is physically, or whether that's just being ready for it. I think those are where the focus is of President Castro needs to be.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Moses, you know, there seems to be two issues here. One is student preparation. Are they ready for college? And the second issue is when they go to a community college and want to transfer, sometimes there are some issues. Are you hearing that among students, that, gee, maybe some of these freshmen aren't really ready for college, and or the junior college students are having a hard time transitioning just because it's hard to get the courses, or the courses they took at community colleges don't count, things like that?
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest concerns that I've seen working on some of the committees is just writing competency and the ability to write at a college level and whether students are prepared for that, and remedial courses that we need to establish as well as other services to help students in those particular areas, as well as a community college transfer, where I've heard of complaints of students who have had to repeat courses just because they didn't have a specific applicable course at a university level.
You know, Moses, you know, one other issue, a big issue, is cost. I know for students that's a really big issue. You know, California ranks, a study just came out, said that California ranks 16th in the nation regarding college tuition costs, but it's second highest in the Western U.S. What do you think? Do you think tuition costs at Cal States are too high? And is the allocation of costs appropriate in terms of how much the state pays and how much the student and or parent pays?
You know, I think the answer is yes, they are too high. But then as I was thinking about it, you know, it's always going to be too high. So I don't really necessarily know if that's where the main focus is, as much as providing the option for students to have that financial literacy for those of who might be taking out loans and understanding the implications of those loans, or having the access to jobs on campus and increasing the level of jobs for college students, as well as just other options like textbooks, using e-textbooks, and other areas where students, you know, take significant decreases in the amount of cost of going to college, but also have that financial stability with some other job or internship, and where they're also gaining that kind of experience. And one other thing that we discussed a lot about is incentivizing students to get out in 4 years and incentivizing businesses and nonprofits to provide some kind of scholarship or paid internship opportunity for these students to not only add to the resume, but to kind of give them that sense of pride and that sense of accomplishment by earning a degree in 4 years or by earning some kind of scholarship.
Yeah, that's actually an issue with these super seniors that have more than 120 units, which typically what takes to graduate. CSU apparently has 90,000 of those in the system, so they're clogging up the works, as it were, and actually costing the system and the state money in the process. Lisa, let me ask you about the issue of cost. What are your thoughts on the cost of higher education?
Well, you can have good education or you can have cheap education. Mm-hmm. But as a general adage, but yes, I think tuition is very high, and particularly if you have financial aid available, but it's only available or mostly available in the forms of loans that will then cripple students later on with debt, rather than grants, work study, these sorts of things. What we also have to remember, particularly about Fresno State, is that it is a public institution. And we need to remember, Californians need to remember, and I think we all need to remember, that there is a reason why for generations now, we've had institutions of public higher education, and that is because what you have as part of a university education, which involves job skills, yes, but improves critical thinking, innovation, creativity, all of those sorts of things. University education is not just a personal good. It's also a public good.
Well, let me ask you this.
It contributes to the economic base and to building social and cultural capital. So, yeah, it may be expensive both to the student and to the state, and maybe the state needs to actually get back into the financing of public education. Take it off of the debt of students.
Let me ask you this. A big suggestion by the governor and others have been the move toward online classes, online instruction. Some people refer to these as MOOCs, massive online courses. What are your thoughts on that briefly?
Well, I think you need to distinguish between online courses and MOOCs. MOOCs are a particular kind, massive open online or online open. I always get the O's confused. But massive online open courseware that are generally not the same thing at all from offering sections of courses online. So when we're talking about online education, it's not just MOOCs. The issue with MOOCs is that they may work very, very well for some subjects and for some types of people. They are being rolled out as the cheap alternative. Why pay 8 instructors to teach courses of 100 students apiece, and that's a huge course anyway, when you can have one robot thing that just spews out courseware, and there's not necessarily a person there, but you can cater to 8,000 students. I'm not, as you might hear from my voice, a great fan of MOOCs as they are being enrolled. I was actually, the first time I heard about MOOCs, I'm thinking, what a cool thing. They're like books. I can learn quantum physics in my spare time. But as a way of basically just pushing people through a sausage mill, I think they're a rubbish idea.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. I was reading recently that Wharton is actually offering MOOCs for their introductory MBA classes, and that they have 700,000 have already signed up for the various classes worldwide, which is more than all the students in the Wharton MBA program since the beginning of the program in 1881. So that's it's something happening. But we only have a little time left.
The issue is also you need to look at how many people sign up and how many people finish. I mean, there was actually been a rather disastrous experiment with using MOOCs for remedial math courses at San Jose State.
Right. I'm familiar with that. They actually came out with new numbers on that, claiming that actually the numbers have gotten a little better. So we'll actually see that as the data runs out.
Statistics that statistics professors have argued with that. But.
I do want to ask you, though, one last question. That is this idea of student success and graduation rates. And there's a concern among some that a focus on graduation rates simply means that they're going to be lowering standards to get more students to graduate. Is there a concern there? And if so, what can be done to make sure that doesn't happen? So I'll ask Lisa, you first, and then if you would give Moses a chance to answer it as well.
Sure. I think part of the issue of success means you have to have people who are college ready coming in because they have the best shot at succeeding. I think there's also perhaps you need an infrastructure of advising and counseling, and we've made great strides actually in graduation rates and completion of course of study by improving advising and actually getting people rigorous advising that's not just but says you need to do this is the order you need to do it in. One of the things about the graduation rates to be aware of, though, is that the 4-year norm was set up when students didn't carry 40 hours worth of work on the side to pay for their college. These days, the norm is much more like 6 years, and that's what we need to focus on, or do people complete in a reasonable, in a time period that's reasonable for them, as opposed to just some arbitrary 4 years.
Well, we're running a little over, so...
By cutting the 120 units, the 120 units used to be the minimum, the very least you need to have to be called call yourself college educated, that's now become a maximum, and that's a bad thing.
Well, running a little over, so Moses, I'm sorry, but we're only going to have a few seconds for you, but I want to ask you very quickly about this issue of student success and graduation rates. So what do you think ought to be done to make sure that we're successful in that area?
Well, success depends on the accreditation process and the outcomes in which we establish. So I think having those outcomes have some kind of credibility really can help us to measure the success of students. And as far as graduation rates, I think it really belongs to advising, and that's something that Dr. Cash was even expressed, is the advising on campus. And a one-size shoe-fits-all won't work, but what will work, and how can we make the advisors better advisors for students and have students more engaged with the advisors? And I think those would lead to higher graduation rates and the retention, as well as better student success.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Lisa Weston, president of the Fresno State Faculty Union, Moses Menchaca, Fresno State Student Body President, and Pete Weber, a member of the Presidential Advisory Selection Committee and chair of the California Partnership for the San Joaquin Valley. Thanks all of you for joining us. If you want to keep up to date with state and local politics, you can sign up for our free e-newsletter, The Maddie Daily, by just logging on to our website at maddieinstitute.org.
The Maddie Report Valley Views Edition is a public affairs partnership between KMJ Radio and the nonpartisan Maddie Institute, providing the Valley with valuable insight and analysis on important public policy issues.
This is Mark Kepler for the Maddie Report Valley Views Edition. Thanks for joining us.